Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, November 17th, 2016. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Brian, how are you holding up? And that's the show.
It's early, man. What are we doing?
Oh, man, is it early. Not only is it really early for you, but I'm actually in the same time zone as you right now.
And what makes it really early for you, too? What's going on?
Man. So, all right. So I'm at the MacTech conference this week, and you've been awesome at helping me make sure that the show gets out. I really appreciate that.
I'm assuming today's MacTech itinerary includes sleep deprivation experiments.
Yes, it did yesterday as well, but today.
Yeah, I slept through that.
Oh.
So that's okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, I appreciate that you've been able to help me out and get the show out for me when my schedule was so packed that I couldn't actually be in front of a microphone.
My pleasure, man.
You really do rock. So the thing that I really wanted to talk about today, since the timing worked out that I could actually be here for the show, and I'm at MacTech conference, it's the news that Sal Segoyan dropped on us yesterday at the event. And So here's the backstory. I'm sitting in this presentation yesterday, and Sal Segoyan, who is he's the champion of AppleScript and automation on the Mac. He's been working for Apple since 1997, and he's the manager in charge of automation products for Apple. So he was a surprise guest speaker at the event yesterday and showed off some amazingly cool things with using your voice to control your Mac with what's available right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of his presentation, he announces that Apple has eliminated his position and that he's no longer going to be working with the company because of that.
His blog says he's already gone.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. He's already gone. Remember, sleep deprivation.
Yep.
So, yeah, okay. So Sal is gone from Apple?
Yes, at least according to his blog. He is not coming up. It's done. He is gone. There is no champion for automation and AppleScript at Apple. And this includes a bunch of stuff that deals with the command line side of things.
Yes, it does.
And these are things that probably don't affect a huge number of Mac users in absolute terms, but for those who do, this is scary, scary stuff.
Oh man, scary stuff. Yeah, this is, I think, potentially devastating for a subset of Mac users, because automation through AppleScript and Automator and other tools is critical to a lot of professional workflows.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever been an AppleScript user?
I have. I don't. there's so many things. There's so many things that cross my desk. AppleScript is one of those things that I've always wanted to learn more of, have never gotten around to learning anywhere near as much as I'd like, and I know that I'm leaving things on the table.
Yeah, well, maybe not for long, because I don't think you'd be leaving them on the table for long, because... Cool.
Yeah, because they won't be there
on the table.
Because Apple's going to reset the table.
Right.
Apple is seems like it's in the process of resetting the table, and the new Mac table is a lot smaller and a lot more capable. Excuse me, a lot smaller and a lot less capable.
There we go. I was waiting for you to drop the big surprise on me, but...
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, apparently the surprise was you misspoke.
Yes.
Thanks that would for be building up my hopes like that, Brian. Yeah,
you're welcome. I'm here for you. And this, man, this kind of stuff is... Sorry about that. This stuff is devastating. It's frustrating to see Apple. So what Sal said was that he was told his position had been eliminated for business reasons.
Uh-huh.
So I can't imagine what the business reason is for eliminating the champion of automation, the person who, you know, who's responsible for the automation that we have being there.
Well, the business reason I can see for doing that is if automation is not a priority for Apple and they're just going to let it fade away.
Yeah, well, you know, the company's on a tight budget and, you know, it's just barely hanging on. So, sure, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's another thing affecting a lot of pros, too. Automation is something that, in particular, can affect workflows. And people that do a lot of repetitive tasks on their Macs are going to be obviously much more inclined to harness some of the automating tools at their disposal. And just Apple seems to just be telling pro users to piss off.
You know, prior to yesterday, I was waffling, but only a tiny little bit on how much Apple was telling pro users to piss off.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though the Mac Pro hasn't been updated, and then the new MacBook Pro, it can't do 32 gigs of RAM, and so we have these things that are saying to us, Apple doesn't seem to care about pro users in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of thinking, you know, maybe I need to hold off and wait until I really get to go elbows deep into the Touch Bar MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. and then decide how Apple is treating or feels about the pro market. But then when Sal announced yesterday that his job had been eliminated, okay, well, even me, with as optimistic as I am, cannot deny that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this tells me that Apple is totally fine ceding the pro desktop and laptop market to HP, Dell, and potentially even Microsoft.
Yep. Doesn't make any sense. It's offensive. You know, like I sarcastically referred to, Apple has all the resources on the planet.
Yeah.
All of them. Apple can do anything that it wants to. Keeping the Mac going is not something that is beyond Apple's capabilities.
Right.
Catering to pro users is not something that is beyond Apple's resources and capabilities. Super frustrating.
I agree. It's very frustrating. And it does directly impact me. I actually do have some Automator workflows and a couple Apple scripts that I've created that I use for very focused, repetitive things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about tools like Apple Script and Automator. There are things that I really need my computer to do for me, but they are so focused to my needs that there's no value in a developer creating an app and releasing it for those things. But I can do them with Apple Script and Automator. Therefore, I'm able to create the tool myself fairly easily to do what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to go away at some point.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen to, like in Photoshop, for instance. It's going to happen to the internal automating tools that are a big part of doing batch processing.
Yeah, and that's one of the things where I've used Automator and Apple Script quite a bit. It's when I have a lot of images that I need to batch process, and I can just create a watched folder with a workflow attached to it, I drop images in, they're processed, and then I have new images, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where I've been able to take things that previously would take an hour or two and turn it into a process that takes less than a minute.
Yeah.
And everything's done exactly right because the computer's doing it.
Yeah. Apple's on a budget.
Yeah.
Can't afford to keep that going.
No, clearly.
You know, and there's a big, vast team of people that was necessary to maintain. Oh, no, that's right. There was one.
Yeah, there was one guy.
He probably made some money. He's been at Apple for a long time.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah. So
his job was eliminated just a couple months before his 20-year anniversary.
There you go. Happy anniversary, sir.
Yeah, happy anniversary. And Sal's such a nice guy, too. It's heartbreaking to see what Apple has done here because of the impact it's going to have on users, but also because Sal is such a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently we're not the only people that were upset about this.
Lots of people seem like they're upset.
Yeah. We have readers that responded to the article I wrote yesterday. And mm-hmm. So I'm going to take us down a little rat hole here for just a second. So I left my laptop in my hotel room because mm-hmm. I didn't think I was going to really need that machine with me throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I had my iPad Pro with me.
Mm-hmm.
So after Sal made his announcement, I'm there and leaving just wasn't really an option. So I wrote the entire article on my iPad Pro, took a photo that I had snapped of Sal shortly before I wrote the article, edited it in Pixelmator on my iPad Pro. So mm-hmm. I wrote the whole thing in Ulysses and then uploaded everything and published the article all from my iPad Pro.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was actually really cool. I was able to do that, and it worked, and the article was there for everyone to read right away. That was just a little happy moment in the midst of all this sadness. But we had readers that responded to the article I wrote. And like Kuda Boy, he says, "Sal is the guy I have to thank for saving thousands of hours and tons of dollars with that Apple script. In graphics regarding imposition or placing of artwork on templates with matching backsides on a 42-inch wide sheet." Anyhow, he goes on and explains how Apple script was able to automate this process that he had to do like close to 100 times a day. And it was an involved process. And Apple script made that totally doable for him. And
you know, I'd always wondered if Kuda Boy had any keys on his keyboard that weren't cranky. It turns out he does.
Yes. They're the keys that go right to his magic Apple scripts.
Right.
Yeah. John Keat, our own John Keat, he says, mm-hmm. "Apple is fiddling while Rome is burning."
Yeah. 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 But, you know... John also has a cranky keyboard, so you know.
Yes, he really does have a cranky keyboard.
We're setting the bar a little bit low there with crankiness. What are some other responses?
Marcus Newton, he says, "Thank you, Sal. I look forward to whatever you do next. I am with Kuda Boy. It is finally nice to know who to thank for Apple Script after all these years." And he goes on to talk about how losing Apple Script is going to be really bad, and he's wondering if Apple thinks that Siri is Apple's new plan for automation. But I don't think so. I don't think that's Apple's plan because you still need a way to create the automated things.
You still got something. Automating stuff is not easy.
No, it's not. And to create the really customized automations that people are doing today, it's not going to be as simple as saying, YoSiri do this.
Right.
Although Sal is trying to make it that way.
Right.
Yeah. So what Sal is doing now is working on continuing to champion automation on the Mac. And he can say and do things now that he couldn't before. The downside is he's not inside Apple, so he's not in a place where he can really push the company to continue making these tools.
Right.
But one thing that he's done, which he was showing off yesterday, he's been putting together all of these scripts that work with the voice control features that have been built into the Mac for a while. So this is independent of Siri.
Okay.
And so he's created 500 different commands that you can use with Apple's iWork apps and with Photos and I think something else. Then he's working on more. He expects to have like 1,000 of these commands put together soon, and he's giving them all away for free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what he showed off yesterday was talking to his computer and telling it, telling Photos to do cropping and other image enhancements to a group of photos. And then he told his Mac to take those photos and create a keynote presentation with them. And then he told Keynote how to edit the individual slides and which order to put them in. And anyhow, when he was done talking to his computer, he told Keynote to play the presentation, and he had this whole presentation with photos and transitions, and he did almost the entire thing with his voice.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that's going to go away.
Yeah, because, you know, who would ever want to use their voice?
Okay, let's be clear. Let's be clear. Apple has not actually announced that automation is going away in OS X.
That's true. Apple has not said anything like that at all.
Right. But Apple has essentially fired the guy whose job was to maintain all those automated things.
Right.
Automation features. So, you know, it does. It feels like the writing's on the wall.
It really does. And especially because it's common knowledge that Sal has been very vocal in defending automation on the Mac for years inside Apple. Mm-hmm. And if he hadn't been there, AppleScript would have been deprecated probably a few years ago. So now with Sal out of the picture, that deprecation is probably coming very soon.
Yep.
That kind of makes me sad.
Super annoying, Jeff.
I know. Yeah. Well, I was about to say something that would change our show rating.
Yeah. So someone has pointed out to me that I've been angry in recent shows. Recent ACM. I did Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner.
Uh huh.
Apparently, I was a little angry during parts of that. Angry during the Apple Context Machine ACM,
right?
Which I did with John Keat last 2 weeks because you've been traveling,
right? And okay, well, in your defense, if you are doing a show where it's just you and John, the likelihood that it's going to be an angry show goes up dramatically.
It does. But you know, from the MacBook Pro, quote unquote, to Apple's coffee table book that Apple spent 8 years working on. To this news. I mean, it's frustrating. I'm in frustration mode. I know a lot of our listeners and readers are in frustration mode. But if it helps, it seems like Apple is pretty cool with it and is not in frustration mode. So, you know, yay.
What I'm hoping is that we are right now experiencing Chaffin's razor, and there is a piece that we are of information that we are missing. Mm-hmm. And once we have that information, we're going to sit back and go, oh, okay, we get it now. We were inappropriately angry, although rightly frustrated, because we didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen.
Yes, I would love to be made to look like an idiot. I would love to be made to look like an idiot on these things. On my fears for the Mac. I would love for that. I just don't think I'm going to be.
I would love that too. And I realize that doesn't sound at all the way I meant it. I want you to look like an idiot.
I do. On this, I do. I want to look like an idiot. I want to look like a grumpy old, dude who just couldn't see what was obvious to everybody else. Whatever.
Yeah, well, it's not obvious to everyone else, because right now a lot of us are on the same page where we are now really concerned about the pro market for Apple.
Yeah, better Macs.
Yeah.
Which is, it's weird. Here's an interesting thing, by the way. I think I'm going to write about this today. The 60 Minutes video where you kind of got a peek inside the design labs.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing it's not a cubicle farm because, it's cool. And mm-hmm. But you're seeing a bunch of people working. And what do they have? And this is in 2015. What do they have underneath their desks? Cheese grater at Mac Pros. They don't have those fancy trash can outdated Mac Pros. They've got, multi-year-old cheese graters.
Yeah. And okay, well, we're out of time, but I want to add in something else that I learned last night, which tells me that while we're incredibly frustrated, maybe we do need to kind of keep an open mind about some of the things Apple is doing. I got to see a screening of the documentary that Adam Nimoy made about his father, Leonard Nimoy.
Okay.
And the documentary is called For the Love of Spock. And it's available on iTunes right now. So if you want to go check it out, you can. It was fantastic. It is so well done. It was really a wonderful retrospective on Leonard Nimoy's life and the impact that he had on the world playing the character of Spock on Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the screening, one of the producers and one of the senior editors were there for a question and answer. And one of the questions that they were asked was, so what kind of equipment did you use to make and edit this movie? They used IMAX.
Sure.
And they said that the IMAX were more than capable of handling all of the video editing and production needs that they had. So they had like two or three IMACs, and they were totally up to the job.
All right. That's great.
Yeah. So that's our glimmer of hope, Brian. Mm. Apple is making computers that professionals are using in serious work environments. And what I'm hoping is that we will continue to have those tools that work well in that environment.
This is my unimpressed face, sir.
Well, this is me doing my best to maintain that positive outlook that I usually have, because I'm like Mulder. I want to believe.
You are like Mulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're out of time.
Yeah.
We need to wrap up. Actually, we went over time, but I haven't had a chance to talk with you in a couple days. I've been missing you, man.
Likewise, brother. Have fun at Mac Tech. Say hello to Neil.
I'll give Neil a big hug for you, and I'm going to hold him just long enough that it's slightly uncomfortable.
Excellent.
Yeah, just the way you like it. Brian, Brian, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, you rock. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And if you have any comments on how you feel about Apple's state of pro computing, on what's happening with Sal Segoyan, let me know. You can leave comments in the show notes. You can leave comments in the article I wrote yesterday about Sal's job being eliminated. You can tell me stuff on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. And you can shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. So listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow. And Brian, guess what? Since I'm working with one screen,
yep,
I'm now stalling for time while I find the window that has this.
Solid.
Yeah.